Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
I hate it when the text line makes my argument better than I make my argument. Damon, his burner account is all you need to know. Exactly.
90% of the league has burner accounts. He just got caught.
But why would you assume 90%? How could you assume something you do not know? You don't know that 90% of the league has a burner account. How dare you?
Okay.
No, but that's it. That's seriously.
It's not a comparable thing that you just did to what I was saying. It's not remotely comparable.
Sure it is.
Come on, let's talk more about Durant's soul. We've talked about his brain. Let's talk about his inner being, his metaphysicalness.
I think actually more than anything, the thing that I feel like should be noted is I really don't think the majority of fans feel that way. I think overwhelmingly the majority of fans just think he was great at basketball and don't think it much further through than that. And I think this notion that everybody who sees everything believes he's a miserable person, I just don't believe that to be true. I think there's a vocal minority who believes that. And a lot of them are in the media. And a lot of them have covered him. And I think I can understand why you have the perception, man, this guy is unhappy a lot, if you interact with him when he's fed up an awful lot. And I think he was fed up with the media a lot. And if the criticism of Kevin Durant is, given his talent, ability, paycheck, on-court success, he should not be so thin-skinned, I think that's a very valid criticism. I think that makes a ton of sense. But to say, I know him to be a miserable person, I'm just never going to go there. I'm never going to go there with you.
I'm always of the opinion that nobody is worse at assessing somebody's inner character than people in the sports writing business. We know far less about them than they know about us, and they don't care about us. But we have decided, based on a stunning lack of evidence in essentially every situation, that we can read a man's essential character. We just suck at it. And it's not...
I don't think I suck at it.
No, everybody sucks at it because nobody knows any of these guys. We spend literally no time around them and no time around the people who do around them. This is not about you. This is about the assumption that everybody in the media makes about everybody they cover in every sport. We're good at discerning deeds. But after that, we don't know anything about these guys. And the people we talk to about those guys who might know them are just as apt to lie to us as tell us the truth. Because they all have things to protect. They all have things to defend.
We will be taking it to the tweets at the bottom of the hour. I don't want to get so lost in this. We spent 20 minutes on this because the one thing that we did agree on is baseball needs a little bit of help. Yesterday, we were coming up with our ideas. Matt, I don't want to do anything to support an argument that you were making, but my God, today. I don't think you're going to like the source, but I did see that robot umpires are making their debut in the Atlantic League. I know you want them right in the major leagues all the way, but
baby steps.
Yeah, the Atlantic League, I tell you what, Major League Baseball has a league that is willing to do some of the experimental work for them, and Major League Baseball should be very happy with the Atlantic League. Here are three things that the Atlantic League is about to do. Bob Nightingale said that there are four new rules that they're going to try in the second half of their season. A pitcher is now required to step off the rubber in order to attempt a pickoff.
That only changes the lefties to first, righties to third thing, right? Because you got to do it anyway if you're going to turn.
I guess what it does is it makes it a little bit more. It's a less deceptive move.
It kind of takes away the lefty advantage holding a guy on first.
What it really does is it gives the base runner a little bit more leeway to gamble.
Yeah,
just a little bit. And they're trying to encourage some action on the base paths with that particular rule. They know that striking out is happening too much because teams have rejected small ball hitting the other way, and then really, really small ball, like sacrifice bunting.
Tiny ball.
One foul bunt will now be permitted in the Atlantic League with two strikes before a strikeout is called. So you get a mulligan on a two-strike bunt. Your first two-strike bunt goes foul? That's not a strikeout yet. You get one more shot at it. I like that an awful lot. The check swing rule has been made more batter-friendly. Let's keep at-bats alive. Let's not send back strikeouts that may not have been a strikeout. Like, when it is, instead of tie goes to the runner, I guess the tie goes now to the hitter in the terms of the plate appearances. And batters may steal first on any pitch not caught by the catcher. In other words, wild pitches are now, well, I guess wild pitches were always a right to take second. So how's that a change?
No, he said the batter.
The batter.
Batters may now steal first. Oh, the bat. Oh, so any drop. Any pitch is a chance for any dropped strike or ball. Any wild pitch
not
or pass
dropped,
ball.
Just wild, yeah.
Any wild pitch, I can run to first.
Anything the catcher doesn't catch.
1-1 count?
Ball in the dirt. 1-1 count. You can take off.
Okay, that seems a little bit extreme. That sounds nuts.
But fun.
The first three I'm all about.
We don't know if they're fun. We know that somebody's trying something. And if they're being intellectually honest, they're trying to see what it does.
Yeah, I think it sounds fun.
It could turn out to be hilarious.
I think it sounds fun is what I'm saying.
But it just, I want to see how it works.
The two middle ones, the one foul bunt, I don't know, whatever. The check swing rule being batter friendly, I don't know exactly what that means, you know? So
no, it means
what exactly
it
have they done?
It has to be very clear that you put your bat through the zone.
Okay,
right. With a greater move than what is considered a check swing. Now,
totally right? In favor of that. Right. Don't think it makes a big difference, but whatever.
Well, considering the Atlantic League isn't using like 100 times photo shutter slow motion,
it'll be fine. But I love that they are doing a thing like the batters may steal first. Because what is the Atlantic League for? It's for making better baseball players and entertaining people at a reasonable price, okay? That's what this league is for. It's not going to do dramatic damage to your development of baseball skills to add a weird quirk like being able to steal first base. And if you get to the majors and you can't steal first base anymore, I promise guys will adjust. So have some fun. Oh, hello.
The celebrity line is up once again. Thanks to our good friends at Dialpad. Let's find out who is out there right now. Sir or madam, who is this?
This is Fred Biletnikoff of the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, Fred Biletnikoff.
Of the Biletnikoff Award.
Yes, thank you very much for calling us, Fred. Appreciate that. I've got Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky here on the Damon Bruce Show today. And who are you calling in for?
I'm calling in for Luis Santana Mendoza. He is a great plus for our foundation. He sets up all the pickups and everything for our celebrities. And he spends 4 days just driving people around, has his whole crew there. He's been doing it for 19 years, and I just want to thank him, and I want to represent him today.
Very nice of you. I'm glad that you're doing this. Fred Biletnikoff here on 95.7 The Game. Are you do you get around this time in the summer and your mind starts thinking about football, or do you wait until football season begins before your attention's there?
No, I'll tell you what. My two teams, BC Lions up here in Canada and the Oakland Raiders, they're on a bubble. So I'm like, my stomach's in knots. But I just want to say one thing for Ray Ratto. Quit going to Scalise meets and eating so much. You got to start losing some weight.
Well,
first of all,
you're absolutely right that I go to Scalise Meats. But if I go there, what am I doing other than getting things to eat?
Get elk burgers, okay?
He wants you to have a leaner meat is all, right?
Are you assuming that...
Tell Ray I said hello. I've known him for years. I watch him all the time on TV. And tell him I think he's fantastic.
Fred, you are the second celebrity. You're the second celebrity. You and former Major League pitcher Tommy John, who their first pivot to Ray was about his weight.
No, it was Nelly.
Oh, it was Nelly. That's right. It was Nelly.
So, Nelly. Yeah. Well, Nelly better watch himself, too.
Yeah, right, no doubt.
Now he's looking good. The long hair, but he does look like he's lost weight. Fred, I'm...
Nelly thinks he's back in the 70s again like I was.
That's exactly what he thinks. You obviously known as a Raider, entire NFL career as a Raider, coach for the Raiders for a long time. How do you see this team? Do you like the Gruden hire? Where are you at on this version of the Raiders?
You know, I coached with John. I coached for John years ago before Al traded him, obviously. And, you know, John's very intense. He's got his own agenda. He knows the players he wants. He knows what the type of quarterback he wants and the receivers and all the players. And, you know, he came back finally to the Raiders. And he just basically taken over. And he's got free reign there. With the decisions and everything with the players, and he's going to make it happen. You know, last year it was a tough year for him because you know when you go into that spot as a head coach, your first year you're still dealing with a lot of things. You're still dealing with a lot of leftovers, that type of thing, and you got to have the opportunity to make it the way you want. So, hey, listen, the cement blocks are on John's shoulders. All right. And he's got to produce, obviously, because that's the way the league is now. And it's not 3 or 4 years down the line. It's instant right now because that's exactly how everything has gone. Well, you guys know the media, number one, and production, number two. And the bottom line is winning. You know, being average 8-8 is not good enough, okay? 9-7 is not good enough. You know, getting to the playoffs, You got to go into the playoffs. You know, if you get into the playoffs, everybody's happy, but you got to go deep into the playoffs.
I mean, but Fred, right? Doesn't it need to start with 8-8? I mean, if the Raiders went 8-8 next year, that'd be good.
Well, that would be good, but I don't think that it's going to be in a lot of instances acceptable, but that would be a big improvement from a year ago. But, you know, you're loading up the whole team with players you think can be productive and be dominant, and you got to win. That's the number one thing. And 8-8 is, well, you know what they'll do? Listen, nobody cares about who comes in second. All right? Nobody. All right? And if you almost get there, that's only good in horseshoes, like they say. All right? And that's just not good enough because nowadays, you got to be productive. You got to be prime. You got to be. You just got to be the cut above, and you got to start being the cut above pretty quick. Because if you're not, then you can't backslide. You got to go forward all the time. And sure, you know, 8-8 could be good, and it could be a big improvement. But with the players that we got in there now, I don't think that's what we're looking at for an 8-8 team.
Who do you like tonight?
A lot better than that.
Yeah. Who do you like tonight, Edmonton or BC?
Well, listen, BC has paid a lot for the quarterback, okay, O'Reilly, all right? And this poor kid is dodging bullets. I'll tell you what, this kid has gotten sacked more times. A few weeks ago, it was like he had a target on his chest, all right? So what they do tonight, because it's BC night tonight in Vancouver, so it's a big production for them. O'Reilly came from Edmonton, so that's you're going to find a lot of things going on there because he played Edmonton and all that. So it's going to be a good game, and Edmonton hasn't gone off to a great start either. So it's going to be a good battle, and we'll see what happens. But I'll tell you what, I keep going for BC because, you know, my good friend Wally Buono, who was there for a number of years, is now retired and all that, and I've always pulled for them. I'm up near Kamloops, British Columbia, so I've been to their training camps and watched those guys. I missed training camp this year. But, you know, hopefully, you know, that even they've inherited a whole new group of guys from before, from a year ago or whatever. So they're in transition also. But they won last week on a rouge, okay?
A rouge.
And the poor kid stepped out of bounds, and so they end up winning the game. But that's football.
Fred Biletnikoff, NFL, AFL legend, Super Bowl MVP, four-time Pro Bowler. And Fred, final question for you. I mean, obviously, the Biletnikoff Award bears your name. Has there ever been a winner where you preferred the runner-up? And does Fred Biletnikoff get to determine the winner of the Biletnikoff Award if he thinks the other guy should have won?
You know, years ago when we first started the award, we just had our 25th anniversary last year, and who thought we would get to 25 years? But we did, and the thing about it is, when we first started, there was just a small group of us, and you know, we looked through the whole selection deal, and we all had influence on it, and it was a whole total different thing. But now we got so many voters. I don't know how many voters now we got, okay? But the one thing that keeps popping up now is, you got teams like the big Alabama, Oklahoma, Penn State, Notre Dame, all that stuff like that. But we've finally gotten down to the point where we're really including, I don't want to say the tier below, but we're looking at a lot of guys that have made an influence in college football, on other colleges that have an impact, and we're starting to get away from the hype of teams that are on TV every week, and people are just looking at those guys, but there's a whole group of guys that really make an impact on college football, and we're slowly getting to that where we're slowly getting in them into, like we did to Alabama with this year, and the kid's a great receiver, and Judy, and I love the guy. He's a great kid. And then we had the kid from Massachusetts. Okay. And
all right. Well, if you're pulling out UMass players, this is where I got to say I don't know about UMass wide. Fred, thank you so much.
But see that's what's happened, you know, because you got to look at the impact, and there are guys that make a difference, and there are guys that are in the top tier of that on TV every week, the major TV, college games, everything, and that's all great and fine. But you know, there are still all kids that work like hell and that really make an impact, and that's what the award is about.
It's great that you pay attention to the little guys too, no doubt. Fred, thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate it today. Fred Biletnikoff checking out the celebrity contest.
Got an award named after him.
He does have a
big
college football award. The guy won a Super Bowl MVP.
It's no Chris Pratt, though. Let's
Fred
be honest.
Fred Biletnikoff is still a household name in the world of football.
Or at least Biletnikoff is. Maybe not the Fred.
Maybe not the Fred part, but the Biletnikoff part is, guy's a legend.
I don't know that anybody's ever said the word Biletnikoff without saying the word Fred.
I don't know. You could ask any question in the world. You ask a CFL question.
You know what? What were you going to get? You were going to get a long run-on answer, which is fine. He's the one who called.
But who wants a long run-on CFL answer but you?
I did.
What was
the
answer?
What
was his answer?
He would kind of like BC to be better than they are. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Was that a correct summation of what's going on tonight?
Well, the game hasn't started yet.
Oh, okay.
It's 2 hours away.
How would you handicap tonight's CFL showdown?
Oh, Edmonton's better.
This is how everyone gets fired. I'm sure of it.
Do you watch the CFL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, only because it happens at a time when everybody's telling us that no sports are happening.
No, that's true. It's a downtime for American sports.
It's football for people who would like to take peyote.
Do you like international sports?
That sounds about right.
Some.
Plastic Bertrand, you got it, buddy.
Yeah, you're not getting one past me, pal.
I'm impressed. Tomorrow, Let me tell you, as a host, I've let you all down tremendously. We are the only afternoon show in America who gives you a daily Tour de France update. It wasn't until about 1 o'clock this afternoon I realized we were already about five stages into this year,
sucker. No.
Oh, yeah.
How many days do we owe?
N'est-ce pas? No, I don't know. But I can tell you, starting tomorrow, requested by no one, sought by no one, asked for by no one, we will have your Tour de France updates back on the Damon Brew Show.
If we were going French musical artist, I would have gone MC Solar just for the record.
Oh, I got like two albums right here. I swear to God, I got them on my phone. He is very good. Plastic Bertrand. I like that.
And I get yelled at for being obscure.
But any kid who took French in the 1990s has heard MC Solar. That was how they got us interested in French class. Check out this rapper.
Any kid who saw European Vacation when they go through the Louvre in 15 minutes.
No, that song was ubiquitous for about 3 weeks. You couldn't go anywhere without hearing it.
It really got radio play, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely it did.
I'm glad. Because the song still rocks. It still carries water.
Yeah. No one can name the second song he ever did because this was it.
Sa Plan Pour Moi is the name of that song. Plastic Bertrand, by the way, because people are asking all of it. Bertrand.
Please, pronunciation.
Well, if you like me pronouncing French stuff, Ray, be here tomorrow. It's going to be gorgeous.
Attendez-vous.
Oh, oui. Huh.
I didn't say I did well in French class.
I got Jared in Fremont. Jared, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's up?
What's going on, guys? Hey, back to the Kevin Durant thing to get this a little back on the rails here. I think one thing nobody's really talking about is not the compensation that Brooklyn's attaining to make his team better. I think we can all agree, whether we can search his soul or get inside his head or we can't, I think we could all agree as intelligent people that he did leave due to some sort of legacy, right? Maybe he wasn't getting enough credit here. He was never going to get his championships by your buddy Nick Wright and stuff like that. They wouldn't have the same weight. So if you think of it like that, right, if you listen to those shows like KD does, LeBron gets awarded by, oh, Cleveland's such a mess when he leaves. Oh, Miami was such a mess when he leaves. He did not want the Warriors to get D'Angelo Russell because then the Warriors would be in a better position.
Sorry, this conspiracy theory doesn't work because if he didn't want the Warriors to get D'Angelo Russell, he could have done that.
Right.
That's it. He had to agree to this to make it happen.
It's the pick that seems odd.
And the pick, by the way, just to be clear, if the argument is Kevin Durant wanted to make sure the Warriors gave up enough because he wants his value to, that's backwards. The Warriors gave up Durant and the pick. So this isn't about Kevin Durant wanting to prove he's the same value as D'Angelo Russell or not. If it was, he'd be telling the Nets to trade picks. That's why the whole idea of it's an optics move to try to convince people that the trade, that doesn't make any sense.
Brian Windhorst, earlier today, on the KD sign and trade, and what set his alarm off.
I want to be clear. I don't know what Kevin's intent was. I don't know why he didn't like the trade. I just know that in the initial way they put it together, he rejected it. And so we had to re-put it together with the first-round pick in there, and then he approved it. But I think it's important to point out that because the Nets had cap space, and because, you know, there's no inherent advantage for KD to take a sign and trade, they had to get his approval. This wasn't like them doing him a favor. He had to actually sign off on doing it.
So, go ahead.
Let me address one more misconception, because a texter just said the Warriors were the only team that could sign him to the max, which is true, but he didn't get it.
Right.
He took less money. So there was literally...
So DeAndre Jordan could join him.
Right. But there was zero incentive for him to agree to this, unless he thought it was helping his new team even more than just him getting there. And the other part is, after that soundbite you just played, I asked Brian Windhorst, do you actually know what the difference between the two versions of the deal was? And he basically said no. So,
yeah, we edited that part out because I didn't want you to look good.
He's just speculating that the only difference was the pick, when in fact, I think it's also quite possible that the difference was the other players involved, which affects how much the Nets could spend on DeAndre Jordan. So that is my best guess, which, to be clear, I don't know either. My best guess as to a sensible reason for Kevin Durant to insist on the pick and players is to get his buddy some extra cash to come join him.
I'm good with that. I mean, it's until Durant says, we're not going to know, and ultimately it's not going to matter because we're going to lose interest in this fast.
Oh, wait a second. Woj bomb.
Woj bomb.
The Oklahoma City Thunder have agreed to trade Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul, first-round picks in 24 and 26, pick swaps in 21 and 25. Russell Westbrook and James Harden reunited per Woj.
Wow.
Let me just say two things. Holy and crap.
They sucked at defense.
Okay, we got Woj bombs. We're going to take it to the tweet. Don't you go anywhere. Celebrity contest still alive. Wow. About a half an hour left today. One more time. Give it to us. Read that one more time.
The Oklahoma City Thunder have agreed to trade Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul, first-round picks in 2024 and 2026, pick swaps in 2021 and 2025.
Wow. I like sports. You like sports. We like sports. Elena, do you like sports?
Now back to the Dame and Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Needless to say, taking it to the tweets has been postponed to the last eyelash of today's show, if at all, because we just got Woj bombed.
No, no, no. This isn't a Woj bomb. This is the event horizon right here.
It really is.
The nuclear Woj.
It really is. So when we just, as we were going to break, shared with you from Adrian Wojnarowski, by the way, Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky, you all know by now, the Oklahoma City Thunder have agreed to trade Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul, first-round picks in 2024 and in 2026, pick swaps in 2021 and in 2025. So the Thunder are playing a long game that has really never even been seen before in the NBA. The Thunder now have Chris Paul, Steven Adams, and seven additional first-round picks lined up through 2026, plus four pick swaps. These are deals for Paul George and Chris Paul. Oklahoma City GM Sam Presti worked with Westbrook and his agent to deliver the former MVP to his preferred destination, a reunion with James Harden, per sources.
Can I just read you their roster right now? Wait. Oh, I can't.
Hold on. Now, normally I would say I don't want to talk to a celebrity here, but this celebrity, they just told me in my ear, officially fits this moment. A celebrity without a doubt, a guy that we love talking to, former Warrior Matt Barnes of the NBA, is calling in. And Matt, you are absolutely playing the celebrity game today. Who are you playing for?
I'm playing for my dad. I got a random text message to tell me to call in before 6. Because you guys are playing a celebrity game.
There you go. You're playing for Papa Barnes, and we do appreciate that. Matt Barnes here on the Dial Pad guest line. Dial Pad helps you make smarter calls. I got to be completely honest with you. You've always been honest with us. I think you're a man who enjoys honesty. You're not going to win the celebrity contest today. We had Chris Pratt call in earlier from, you know, like Avengers Endgame. That's pretty big, right?
Hell yeah, that's a huge game.
Yeah, that's a big one, but your call could not have been better timed. We just got Woj bombed.
Westbrook to Houston?
Westbrook to Houston for Chris Paul and picks galore.
Wow. Chris Paul's going back to OKC, because that's where he started when New Orleans was flooded.
Yep. That they were playing in Oklahoma City when Chris Paul's career started. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the chances, though?
Interesting.
I'm sorry. What are the chances, though, that Chris Paul stays where he is? Because this smells like he's moving on.
That's a tough number. They got to figure out what a buyout looks like, I guess. It looks like, you know, Oklahoma City had their run with all their stars, and they're starting completely over. So I'm sure that, you know, at some point they would try to, you know, move Chris. I'm sure he'd probably want to play for the Lakers is what I've heard. But it'll be interesting to see if they can make the money work out somehow.
Okay. Maybe if they got rid of Jeannie Buss, they might be able to fit him under.
So the Houston Rockets just combined a man who last year had the second highest usage rate of all time, and the man who owns the record for highest usage rate of all time. Right. How do Russell Westbrook and James Harden... Now, look, I know they played together before, but that was a different James Harden. How do these versions share?
I think they're both going to really have to sacrifice. Because, I mean, they're obviously both very talented players that can get their own shot at any time, and that's what makes them so dangerous. So I think, you know, where Houston could have been better last year was allowing Chris to also create for everyone else along with James and keeping everybody into the game because, you know, the isolation basketball hasn't really produced anything but great numbers. So I think both of them are probably going to have to sacrifice a little bit and understand that, it takes a team to win. But, I mean, you've got two dogs, and, I'm sure they're excited about reuniting.
Matt Barnes here on 95.7 The Game. He called in for the celebrity contest, and we're absolutely going to take advantage of him and do an NBA interview because he was nice enough to do that. Matt, you were teammates with Chris Paul. I think you are you're about as real as it gets. Who is Chris Paul? Did you like playing with him? Why is the perception of him so negative at times?
Yeah, I love Chris. He was probably one of the most competitive teammates I've ever had, someone that I would always take to war. And I think where, Chris gets lost in translation is his old-school demeanor. You know, Chris is a throwback, old-school type point guard that is, will tell you the right thing, but sometimes his delivery gets misconstrued because he yells or maybe use a few cuss words. And back in the day, that was fine. But with these younger guys, they're not really fans of that, so I saw that's where we ran into trouble and with the Clippers, sometimes with the delivery. But, 9 out of 10 times he's saying the right thing. I just think his delivery, like I said, gets misconstrued and guys take it the wrong way. And, he's had some trouble with that along the way. But, great guy, great competitor. Like, I would take him to war any day.
I don't know that there will ever be a free agency period like this one again, but of all the deals that have happened since this started, which is the one that makes you, that stuns you the most?
I don't necessarily say stuns, but I think just puts the team in a great position is obviously the Clippers, what the Clippers did. I think they had a very solid team last year that wasn't star driven. Everyone was completely bought into what Doc was telling them and bought into the system. And then you add two of the most selfless superstars in the game and guys that play both ways. And to me, you're a championship. You're definitely in championship contention. So it'll be interesting to see how the season plays out. I mean, I love the pairs. I think for the first time in about 3 or 4 years, we can honestly say there's maybe 4 or 5 teams that have a chance. If they get right to compete for a title, and we haven't been able to say that for a while. So I think it's going to be a fun season.
A champion, a warrior. We're proud to call him a friend of the show, Matt Barnes. Again, you called in to enter your dad in a contest, and we put you right to work. We're so sorry, Matt. Thank you very much, though, for giving us a call today.
No problem. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. Matt Barnes checking in.
You're a cruel exploiter.
Yeah.
And since you talked about the new parody, 5 minutes ago, the Rockets went from 12-1 at the Superbook in Vegas to 6-1.
It's a don't bet.
Yeah,
it's a sucker bet.
That is trying to capitalize on a moment.
All
right.
I'm saying is that's how quickly it turned. They are now like the fourth highest favorite. Behind.
Okay, but let's just quickly go through what we've just seen in the Western Conference. Okay, and what's interesting is that pretty much everyone who got better comes from below the top three of last year's. Because the Denver Nuggets haven't really changed. Trailblazers have done some goofy stuff. I don't know that they've changed much. Warriors have gotten worse, quite clearly. From there down, the Rockets added Russell Westbrook. The Jazz added Mike Conley. The Thunder are gone. The Spurs are in a weird spot. Clippers have the best top two in the league, unless it's the Lakers, because they also have an incredible top two. The Sacramento Kings should continue to improve with all the young talent that they've got. This Western Conference, the Pelicans, what they've managed to do adding young players and setting a rebuild in place, and even if the Thunder have gone from playoff team to afterthought, as we said, they've put together arguably the greatest collection of assets to start a rebuild ever.
Woj is going to take that one step further.
So he gone?
No, because
Chris Paul gone?
No, Woj just says, I actually left out the Thunder's Jeremy Grant deal with Denver. So Oklahoma City has actually acquired 8 first-round picks since draft night. They've got Denver protected 1 through. No, I don't even want to go through it. There's so many hyphens and so many.
They have picks from Denver, Miami, the Clippers, and Houston. Multiples from everywhere except Denver. Some are protected, but who cares? Right. There's so many.
And how does that worthless hack forget the Jeremy Grant trade?
Yeah, there are all sorts of pick swaps that are built into this to always get Oklahoma. It's max value, I think, in these years. Wow. Look, if you're Presti, you do it. If you're Daryl Morey,
you do it.
Why?
Because Chris Paul is now toxic on your team.
Is it because he made fun of James Harden's nipples?
I don't know that that's the reason, but it's clear that they could no longer coexist, and they made that as evident as possible. This is two teams taking players that one wanted to get rid of, and the other one, who was told by the player, get me out of here. I think this was two teams trying to solve separate but equal internal problems.
I'll take your problem if you take my problem.
Basically.
We're trading problem childs, but here's the deal. Daryl, God, I hate his last name so much, Morey. God damn it. I mean, it's
Morey Amsterdam.
It feels like Morey, it's right Amsterdam. There. No, I always say Morey, like, you know, at the deli, gives you a nice corned beef, Morey, and I still can't get it done.
Tuesdays with
Morey. I'll help you with this.
Thank you.
Morey is an eel.
Thank you.
Morey isn't.
Okay, so Morey is more married to his calculator than any other NBA GM you can find. Like you just said, Matt, we got the highest usage percentage of his time playing with the highest usage percentage of now all time.
It's just that
I don't want to talk about, like, who,
here's the trick. He is more married to his calculator, but he is less married to his calculator than he is married to the idea that if stars are available, you should get them. And you can look at his history. The Rockets are in on every single available superstar via trade and free agency. He wants to make sure everybody knows we're in this. They try to trade for Jimmy Butler. They try to everything.
They tried to make the Melo thing happen.
And so that is, I think this is the picture of Daryl Morey's philosophy. Get a couple stars and use the math to fill out the rest of the roster.
But still,
he's the most hyperactive dealer ever.
In the history of there's only one ball, as a pithy thing to say about you got too many ball-dominant players on a team, this is the ultimate, well, you know they only play with one ball scenario. Westbrook and Harden, they might have been best friends, but as you alluded to, their games have evolved and changed so dramatically since they were last teammates together.
Here's the argument against it for Houston. You're already terrified of the Chris Paul contract. And granted, he's older, but it's an identical deal, only you've added a year of $47 million for a player who, by 2022, I think it's hard to say that you know what Russell Westbrook will look like, and it's equally hard to say he'll look better than Chris Paul does right now.
Well, Chris Paul's making like $48 million in 2022.
Chris Paul is... his contract's over then. That's
The
point.
Okay.
They both go 38, 41, 44, and then with Westbrook, you get one extra year. So the Rockets have just traded themselves into an extra year and in the process, given away the draft picks that come after that. So they just traded draft picks for when Westbrook's career is over, which Lord knows what the Rockets will look like by then, and they've added an additional year of contract hell with that $47 million player option that it's hard to imagine Russell Westbrook not taking. You've locked yourself into a long time here if you're Daryl Morey.
This freaking league.
Unbelievable.
I'm just telling you.
This is the deal that jumps the shark. Because you won't beat this free agency year ever. And I don't care even if they all line up and conspire to become free agents in the same year again. You won't. This is it.
This is it.
Yeah, it's not getting weirder than this.
Ever.
Now, this is the high water mark. This is the flood that takes out all the buildings.
Maybe Adam Silver talking about how, you know, we made a deal with the devil, basically, and we're getting attention now that pales in comparison to just the attention we would receive on this calendar date a year ago.
And next year at this time, people are going, God, the NBA sucks. Nothing's happening.
I don't know about that. Because I think what's interesting about this is
the idea is, well, next year is going to be not as good. There's not as many interesting free agents. But half these guys weren't free agents. I think what we've learned is, yeah.
I'm talking about free agency season. I know. I'm not talking about free agents.
I know, but my point is just, I think, yes, it's unlikely it will reach this level of absurdity, but I think it's pretty likely it will reach a pretty good level of absurdity on a year-to-year basis because of how many things can change in a year and because of how active some of these guys are to say, look, both Houston and OKC could have said we're probably still a playoff team or at least we'll be competitive in that respect. Let's not get too crazy here. But everyone gets crazy now. That's what the NBA is. It's a place where everyone's crazy.
I'll stand on my analysis that it will never be as crazy as it was this year.
That may be true, but I think it can still be crazy enough to be entertaining. And that's really what they're after, is keep us entertained when the games aren't even happening.
Right. Look, the NBA is a lot of things. The NBA offseason used to be something different. Then it's turned into this. This is basically Pacino burying his face in the pile of cocaine at the end of Scarface. I mean, this is – he is just, say hello to my little friend. This is unbelievable. Two sort of semi-functional yet always dysfunctional franchises just traded their best assets at the same time, worst problems. I mean, it's
– fascinating.
This is insane.
I mean, look, in Houston, you have a team that got to the Western Conference Final – a year ago, this past year, lost in the second round to the putative best team in basketball until they weren't. And now you look at them and you go, how? How do they do this? And I honestly think, I mean, I'll have a different opinion tomorrow because I haven't thought about this long enough. I honestly think that there is no team in the Western Conference save the Clippers, who understand what's happened here. Because they're the only ones who came into the season with one plan and stuck to it.
Right. I mean, it was play out the stretch, Kawhi's the prize.
Yeah. And they got it.
They executed.
I mean, they nailed it every way they wanted to nail it. Maybe they gave up a draft choice or two more than they would have under normal circumstances. But these aren't normal circumstances.
Right. The only wrinkle or addendum to the plan might have been, you got to absorb Paul George into this plan.
How about this? Fun fact. With this trade of Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry becomes the longest tenured player in the NBA with the original team that drafted him.
First name Stephen, last name Curry. He came into my life, now everything is less blurry. Oh,
Grandpa Steph?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to vet that somewhat.
He sounds significantly older now than he did a couple of minutes ago.
Well, so Russell Westbrook was the longest tenured player.
Yes.
With one team.
With his original
NBA.
Team.
Yes. Wow. You know, it's something that I prepared for today's show. I never even got to. And with 4 minutes left, I got this filed under. Let's talk about this tomorrow. But I thought I'd bring it up right now since we're right here in this. Guess who's going to become the Zen master of that locker room next year? And he gets a full 3-month trial.
Wait, which locker room are we talking
about? The Warriors
locker room. There's so many locker rooms now.
No, you gotta guess the locker room. I'm just gonna tell you if you're right or wrong.
Zen master?
Yeah.
The Zen master.
Matt Patricia? Wrong!
No. The Zen master Klay is
Thompson.
An interesting.
Klay Thompson is a man who has lived every single life cycle in the NBA. He has seen 12 years of action in however many years he's played. He's done it all, including being underrated, unpredicted. The only thing Klay Thompson has never been is overrated. That's the only thing he's really never been. He's worn every other hat in this league. He's seen it from a million different ways.
And I think he's the second oldest guy on the team.
And now he's coming back from an injury, which is another element to his veteran presence that, you know, David West, Sean Livingston certainly understood. I think this guy is going to silently become the trash heap for the Golden State Warriors. And all the fraggles will be going to him to advice now. It's not going to be.
That's not bad.
It's a good analogy, but at first first listen, it's a terrible analogy. It's a trash heap of the Warriors.
Right, I know what you mean.
But again, it's probably a reference that most people have missed because Fraggle Rock, as good as it was, hasn't been on television in a quarter century.
You're right. Don't you dare diss Fraggle Rock. It's on television all the time, I'm quite sure, up in the high-numbered channels where they rerun things from my childhood.
So if you have any more...
Never has a man been more proud of his own loneliness.
If you got more questions tomorrow, you can include your Fraggle Rock questions in to the tweets. You know, it's really funny that I just randomly brought up... You know why I got a little Fraggle Rock on the brain? Because yesterday, two days ago, I was at a dog park, and I saw a dog that looked like the dog Muppet from Fraggle Rock.
Whoa.
I did. I even told my wife, I'm like, doesn't that look like the dog from Fraggle Rock? And she's like, you need to smoke less weed before we come out and walk this dog.
No, you need to smoke more weed because you're still having sentient thoughts that really you should keep to yourself.
You are right about that. Hey, all right, so we've officially reached you. Anything else? Matt, I see you're looking.
No new Woj bombs as of now.
Anything else?
Oh, my God.
Elena, anything?
Giannis was just traded for himself and a 2027 unprotected pick.
Fraggle bomb.
Down a Fraggle Rock.
Doozer bomb. Adrian Ward-Gorgowski. The Gorgs? And come on. Adrian Ward-Gorgowski, that is on-the-fly, unplanned comedy, free to you over the radio.
I'd have gone Gorg Janowski, but whatever.
Oh, even better. Today's winner of the celebrity contest was Chris Pratt. I know that because only Matt Barnes had the guts to call in after he called in today. Chris Pratt, hands down, to his brother, to all those up in Solano County doing the good work, you win at least $1,000 thanks to Chris giving us a call today. And who knows, there could be more for you tomorrow. Our final day of the celebrity contest tomorrow. Today was great. We had Chris Pratt, Matt Barnes, Jewel, Jose Canseco, Fred Armisen, put a bird on it. This was a good show today. Thanks so much to Ray Ratto, to Matt Kolsky, for Brian Windhorst, Ken Rosenthal joining us. Elena, thank you very, very much. We want to thank Lucas, who did a great job filling in today. And just to let you know that it's a full team effort here on 95.7 The Game, an example of shows helping shows. Coming up next, I believe we got Michael Urban, Ryan Covey. Covey said, Damon, Maury, that's the guy who sold wigs and got shanked in the back of his head in Goodfellas. That'll stay with me. I can remember Maury now. Thank you very, very much. Thanks to all of you. And please do remember, watch out for Woj bombs. They'll throw your whole show off.
Cover your head.
We'll do it to the tweets tomorrow. Celebrity contest will wrap up tomorrow. And remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
We did catch an alien. We did interview him. And you guys will actually see it soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.